Now, am I still on?
Yep.
Good. Last time I talked about I'm losing my mind. Anyway, this time I'm going to talk about joy that lasts. And I want to start it off with, there was a young boy that came to me. This is about 1992, 93. Came to me, and his dad had been an Air Force colonel, high ranking. His mother was non-compos mentis. His dad died, and he wanted help making an application for the Air Force Academy, and we put it all together, and he got accepted and went. Came back within a week, came to my office, and he had, and I never did understand, although I asked him what happened out there at the Air Force Academy, but he had this plan, and he had it all diagrammed on a big sheet of paper. He had this plan that he wanted me to help him do, help him get it done. He had a he had an old folks home in the center of this property that he was envisioning he would buy, and off to the right would be a home residence for young children that were disabled, and over to the left were normal kids that were without family, and a farm back in the back here, and the kids were going to learn farming and work on the farm. And he had this idea that the kids would have, in the old folks home, they would have a family grandmother there, and that the people that were disabled would have a family grandmother there, and these would be their family children, and so that this would work. And he was bound and determined he was going to do this. Only problem is that he didn't have any money. And he ended up creating a teen town, and in order to help the teens in a bad part of town. And for about 5 or 6 years, he ran the teen town, and even though there were people that tried to bring drugs in and alcohol in, he kept it alcohol and drug free. And you know, he's only 19. He's running this business, and did for 3-4 years, kept a lot of kids off the street. Somehow made money selling Cokes and popcorn at that teen town. I don't know how he did. But anyway, I'm talking about joy that lasts. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. Job 25 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life; in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Jeremiah 15:16, "The words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of God, Lord God of hosts."
Amen.
Well, you know, We have lots of feelings, and that's what I talked about a little bit last time, and I didn't even begin to get into them. But joy is an interesting word. And you think of things that we do. Ruth and I, the other day, built a garden in our backyard. You know, we had to work, pound the stakes in, nail the boards together, put it all together, huff and puffing. And when we got it all done, why, there was a great satisfaction, a joy, if you will. But then you got to plant the garden. You got to fill the garden with dirt. So it was short-lived, the joy. It doesn't last long. Winning the World Series. And there, I understand the Rangers, of all people, are in the World Series. What news? All the years I went to the games, they couldn't win the big one. And now that I don't pay any attention, they're winning. But see, they win the World Series. As soon as it's over, the joy's gone. They got to worry about next year. Super Bowl, same way. Tennis, great, same way. Last week, I finished a carving that I started in 1983. Oh, wow. It was satisfaction. I was glad to have it done, but, you know, tomorrow, it's really just another thing that's going to burn up when God comes. Passing the test in psychology course was, that was a great, great thing, especially when I made F's on the first three tests. Finishing the carving, did I mention that was passing the bar association? You know, the minute you pass it and you get into the practice, you got 30, 40, 50 years of work. Not much joy for long. What does joy mean? The definition of joy in the dictionary is a great pleasure or a happiness, delight. So now, see, we got these other words, happiness and delight. What do those words mean? And then the expression of this emotion is a definition of joy, and a source or object of the pleasure or satisfaction. And sometimes the word joy means to enjoy. So here we get into happy, and then you have possibly another term for this, happy, merry, merry, we're merry. And so merry is full of high-spirited gaiety and jolly. And now we got another emotion and characteristics offered by fun and festivity is another definition. And delightful entertainment is another. And brisk is another. And then the synonyms, festive, gala, glad, gladsome, happy, joyful, joyous, marked by celebrations. And you can go on and on and on with all these very different words that mean joy or have some suggestion of happiness or joy, pleasure, an enjoyable sensation. See, they just use the joy in the definition in order to try to explain it. Some source of enjoyment, gratification or delight is another definition of pleasure, amusement, diversion, or worldly enjoyment. All these words, gratification, another word. Well, grateful, another word. The sensation or feeling of these situations is temporary. It'll last a few days, and then you got to start working on the next one. Sometimes no more than a few minutes. But there is a sense, and I think you all have gone through it because, see, everybody here on these Wednesday nights come here because they really want to pray for the people in our church and for our church. They really seek to be doing God's word to grow in faith and wisdom. And so they're already believers for the most part. If anybody's here that's not, please talk to Mike because he'll show you his wallet trick. But there is a sense when you believe of joy. And if you're honest with yourselves, that joy is very great at the time you accept Christ. So great that Ruth tells me that she wanted to go tell everybody that she'd accepted Christ. Go tell everybody. And of course, that's really what God wants us. And some of us probably are a little more sleepy and not quite so excited and probably even kind of scared that we even did that. And so there's all types of emotions that come out of that. But the one thing that I think you all would have to admit to yourselves, if you're really honest with yourself, if you're really honest with your feelings, you'd have to admit that today, right now, you still have joy, 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 because you did that. Amen. There's a joy in it. There's a joy that lasts, and it lasts because you have accepted salvation, and you know, you see, you're going to have everlasting life with Christ. So, but I want to talk about a joy, another joy that lasts. Or at least I think we can see that joy that lasts. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So there's great joy in heaven when one person repents and accepts Christ. And for those of us, or those of you all that have talked to somebody about Christ and preached and taught the word and suggested the gospel message, and that you read John 3:16 to them, or you kept going back to the well and kept going back to the well and talking them to somebody and they accepted Christ. You know, I think there's a sense that you see, my partner accepted Christ 3 days before he died. And if we hadn't gone back to his home the 3 times we did while he was laying in bed with cancer, even though we'd talked to him 150 times, maybe 200, maybe 300 or 400 times about Christ, never accepted. I know what you mean, but I just don't buy it, North. And still, he accepted Christ. And you see now, that's 10, 12, 13, 14 years ago. Now I'm old, and I'm looking forward to my resurrection going to Christ. Just because of my age, I'm just there. But you see, I know my partner's there. I know he's there. There's a joy that you get from that. So I think that's a joy that lasts too. for a joy for the believer. There just really is a joy that never, ever ceases. So I want to read Ephesians 2, 5 through 8. Ephesians 2, 5 through 8. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Joy, joy, joy for those that we've talked to, for us, when we accept. So there's a joy in those, both of those situations, for the people that are involved in the process. But in Matthew 28, and without me going there and reading it, you know, those are the verses 18 through 20 that Christ tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach the gospel. And that's what we do when we do that. And let's see, I believe I need to turn to I need to turn to 15. John 15, 9 through 12. 15, 9 through 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. And then, if you go to Matthew 28, he's telling you to preach and teach the gospel. So, some of the commandments that we are told to follow are not so easy. So you have Matthew, and don't try to turn to all of these, because I'm just going to summarize a few of them here, and I don't even begin to cover them all, but some of those commandments that God tells you to keep. Matthew 5:44, do good to those who hate you. Ooh. Matthew 5:44 also, pray for those that persecute you. Ooh. Luke 6:27, love your enemies. Luke 6:30, give to everyone who asks you. Give to everyone who asks you. And it makes me think, when the lady comes to the door here and asks for some money, our policy is, some of these people are cranks, some of them are not such good people, but this is pretty clear. Give to everyone who asks you. had a neighbor across the street that did that. Anybody that went by his home and asked for a dollar bill, he gave them to. He was just did that. Luke 6:35, lend to others and don't expect anything in return. Kind of tough. Don't be Don't be a stumbling block to others. Romans 4:14-13. Bless those who curse you. These all get to be pretty hard things to do. But that's what God commands us to do. There's a story in the Texas Co-op magazine. I don't know whether if any of you read it or not, but it's about a young boy like my Air Force candidate, Nathan Witt. He's now 24. He was on the road, and if you read this story, he was on the road to rack and ruin. He was doing little stuff that not supposed to, and imbibing some things he probably shouldn't have, and was kind of on the wrong track, and he was into skateboarding. And when he left high school and went to college, he took his skateboard with him. And of course, in college in Plano, Texas, they had the concrete ramps for the skateboarders, and he developed quite a cadre of people there that did that. Unfortunately, in 2020, the pandemic hit, and they sent everybody home. Now he has nothing to do. You see, drugs, imbibing things you shouldn't, doing things you shouldn't because you got nothing to do and nobody to do them with, and very discouraging and disturbing. But he discovered a worn down skateboard facility in the Baptist Church in Mineola, Texas. Once he discovered that, he talked to the pastor, Demetrius Boyd, talked him into building a skateboarding facility. And they got together and they've done this, and what they've done is they've worked and put together, you see, getting the kids off the street and doing things that kids like to do, the young people like to do. Not only this, but his parents were so glad to see that he wasn't doing these things that they didn't like that they jumped in and helped him jumpstart a nonprofit corporation called Flint and Steel Coalition. That's right here in Mineola. How many of you even knew it existed? And so they formed this nonprofit corporation, put together, and they got the city government involved a little bit, and the church got involved, and Pastor Boyd got involved, and all of a sudden they've got this corporation called, nonprofit corporation called Flint and Steel, and they're building a skateboard facility right here in Mineola for the kids. You see, it takes the kids off the streets, gives them something to do. You see, my kid did the Teen Town where they danced and ate popcorn and stuff. Now, they tried to bring drugs in, but he wouldn't let them. They had a police officer there not to let them. Now, you see what this corporation has done is they have not only done this skateboard, but they've gotten together and they've done an art house where the kids can go and do the art. Oh, well, you know, North, you're interested in that. But you see, the kids need an outlet. And they need that where they can do what they feel encouraged to do. And you see, if it's playing a harmonica, then it's playing a harmonica. But if they're not interested, you're not going to get them to do it. And if it's playing basketball, they're going to want to play basketball. And they're going to want to do it whether you have a basketball goal or not. And they're going to want to do it anyway, because that's their game. And if we don't have that kind of operation in the facilities for these young people, we can't really expect them to listen to us. How are we going to talk to them about Christ if we don't have them in activities that give us an opportunity to spend time with them where we can talk to them? So here they're doing a really interesting thing. So now he's back in school, but you see, this organization, if you've been driving through town, you see the results of this organization, this Flint and Steel organization. It's on the murals on the walls. They've been hiring a muralist to come in and teach these youth how to paint these murals all over the walls. Well, there's some of those murals that I don't think are all that great, but, you know, the kids are learning something. The young people are learning something from this muralist. And they also, you see, have a board game, a game house. They put that together. This is going on in Mineola, Texas. In our newspaper here, you see, does not publish this stuff. They don't tell the story, but this is going on in Mineola, Texas. These are our kids here in our town, and it's a going on because Pastor Boyd is doing this, and he's encouraged his, and because Witt's parents got involved, and because the city community got involved in doing this, reaching out to these kids. Have a chess organization. Well, you see, St. Paul has upstaged all the other churches in this town, and my guess is the St. Paul Baptist doesn't have the money that the Baptist church does here in town. Probably doesn't have the money that the Methodist church, and probably doesn't have any more land than we have. So Freddie Coyle comes to town and tells us we need young people, and the asset we've got is land. And to give the leadership people credit, we did talk about having a barbecue pit out here. We did talk about having a croquet competition among adults and children out here. We did not talk about doing volleyball, but volleyball's big with the young girls particularly. It's a game they can play. It just doesn't require brute strength. I mean, some of the girls have brute strength, and they can knock the ball pretty hard, but it doesn't require it. And so volleyball with the young girls apparently has become very strong. If you get the girls, you get the guys. You're so right. So perhaps you see what we ought to be doing is looking at using what the asset we have, which is the land, and making a volleyball court out here in the yard, making a fire pit where we can have campfires. Maybe that's what we ought to be doing, and then attracting those young people. And there is a new game out that I don't know what, and I can't remember the name of it, but there's a new game out that's taken the East Coast by storm. It's pickleball. pickleball. It's like tennis, but it's similar. Well, you know, I don't know whether we have, you know, John Fox and I are too old to build these. I mean, the garden for my wife was tough enough, but to build this stuff out here in our yard, I don't know that John and I have the energy. Maybe Mike does and Brad have the energy to do that, but it takes some work. But we do have the asset of the land itself. We need a vision. We need a vision about what we can do there with regard to that. Now you see, for those that developed a skateboard park, they have done what God told us to do. And you know, I suspect that if you've helped somebody that needs the help, I suspect the joy might last in your heart for the rest of your life. Just might last in your heart for the rest of your life, knowing full well that you helped somebody. Nothing more exciting. Now, this church is very fortunate because Pat Flanagan does yeoman work behind the scenes and doesn't tell anybody about it, but she takes fruits and vegetables to people who can't go shop. She does other things that I probably don't even know about, and some she might not even tell me about if I ask her. And I know Jean and John work in Kindness Cottage, and I know others in this church that are doing these things, and I suspect that if you really talk to them, there's a feeling of joy in having done what they do that lasts forever, lasts the rest of their life. So turn to Philippians 12. Twelve through 18. I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to comment on it much because I'm slipping past the hour. But Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both, and will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. So God wants us to have joy. Joy that lasts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wisdom and guidance. And I pray, Father, that what we say and have done here tonight meets with your approval and it glorifies you and seeks to encourage us to do what we might do to be your servants and to glorify you. We pray that in all things your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.